Seven blessings, everyone. Can you hear me okay? Because I can't hear my echo. All right. Okay, good. All right. Yeah, if you can kneel, please do so. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. We worship you. We trust you. And we love you. Thank you for helping us day by day and week by week. As we get closer to the end, things are getting pretty intense out there. And even our dreams have been blessed in ways to let us know we've got to get very serious now. Please bless us with your presence today. Please bless us with the changing of the showbread. Please bless us with understanding and faith and wisdom and courage and more love for each other and for those you send away, even the ones that hate us. Please give us the patience when dealing with atheists and homosexuals and Muslims and Catholics and anybody else that are having issue with the truth. You know, especially the five foolish virgins. And Father, if we are foolish in any way, please reveal that to us as well. And thank you for forgiving us, cleansing us, and blessing us with the latter rain if we are so worthy. We uplift everyone on our prayer list, including those that are being mentioned here in the text chat with all the prayer requests. And thank you for blessing everyone that's in attendance here on the radio, the phone, and here in the room. And thank you so much for blessing us with a way to talk to you on a regular basis and accepting this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. Let me get this fan on. I want to ask that everybody keep the people of God in prayer the world over, because it's, like I said, some of us are having dreams, you know, and it's not just one of us, it's quite a few of us are having these dreams now, and it's getting pretty amazing. The Lord's revealing His wrath is about to fall on this nation, and so please keep those that are believing the false prophecies and whatnot. I had to shut the comments off on the last two videos because they just keep coming and they're twisting. They put so many verses out of context that I just don't have time to keep up. It's like they come in droves. And the sad thing is they don't realize what they're doing. They actually believe that stuff because they don't read their Bibles. They're just echoing their pastors who are lying to them about a secret rapture or seven-year trip. So please keep them in prayer. Because many of them got offended by the truth, you know, because they're so fearful. They have to latch on to something that gives them some peace in their hearts because they don't have the peace of Jesus. They don't trust Him. They don't trust Him when He says He's going to help them through the trials and tribulations that are coming. None of them are even getting ready. I mean, look at the trials and tribulations we go through that help us get ready. And we still need a lot more, too. We got a lot of dross that has to burn off. But there's a lot of people out there that they won't even bother trying because they think they're going to be raptured off before it gets crazy. The devil's literally got them so scared they can't trust Jesus' peace, even though they've got their Bibles in hand and they see how everybody in the past had to go through trials and tribulations. I mean, look at the hundreds of millions of Christians that died at the hands of the popes. They forget all this stuff, thinking that they're somehow special and they're not going to have to go through, you know, the little time of trouble that's already started. There's a Christian dying every 2.5 minutes now. And they ignore that. You know, even the fake prophecies say that stuff doesn't start until they're raptured. But yet they're still here. And they ignore that. So please keep them in your prayers. Because they've gotten very upset with me. I mean, you know, I probably lost 100 or 150 subscribers because of it. Because they don't want to believe that there is no secret rapture. They don't want to believe their Bible. They don't want to believe Jesus is going to protect them because he's never done it before, because they've never asked him to or they've never trusted him to. So again, keep those people out there in prayer that are riding the fence, and keep your brothers and sisters in prayer too, that they don't jump on that fence or jump over. And so, anyway, picking up where we left off, I think I wanted to go in a little bit more detail in regards to the pomegranates that are on the clothing of the high priest. I don't know if I mentioned this last week or not, because, you know, I'm pretty sure I didn't. I mean, I may have lightly touched on it, but I don't know if I went this far. I mean, everybody knows what a pomegranate is. I mean, it's just a little round fruit. It's a little larger than an apple. Sometimes it can be a lot larger, depending on where you buy it. But here in America, the stuff we have that they call produce, it just ripens on trucks. It doesn't ripen on trees. And that's why I, you know, a lot of the fruit I just won't eat, you know, especially apples. You know, if you got an apple tree like we do, and you take an apple from the store, even the health food stores, it's just nothing compared to an apple on a tree. You let it ripen on the tree. But because everybody wants to have shelf life, they pick it early, and then it loses half its flavor. But inside the pomegranate, we all, for those of us that have eaten them, we know there's a large number of seeds encased in there. And they're like little juice bags with a seed inside each one of them. And it's bitter and sweet at the same time. But do you recall the parable Christ shared in Luke chapter 8 regarding the sower of the seeds? See, I don't know if I've already shared this before, like I said, but it bears repeating in regards to the pomegranate and why it's on the bells. I mean, why it's in between the bells and whatnot of the high priest, why those pomegranates are there. It says in Luke chapter 8, verse 11, that the seed is the word of God. And each one of those pomegranates is just a little basket of seeds. Thank you, Brother Sean. And thank you, Brother Warren, too, for telling everybody to, you know, with the private messages and all that. You know, I looked online, and I found that the amount of seeds in a pomegranate, I guess how you say it, it can be anywhere from 200 to 1,200 seeds. Yeah, I thought it was pretty amazing because, like, you know, here in America, it's all you can do to get one that's got 200 in them. When I was a kid, I used to love them. I couldn't get enough of them. Whenever my mom would come home from market and she had a pomegranate, that's what we call them, just pomegranates. We didn't call them pomegranate, and that's the way it's spelled. But every time I saw one of those, I said, oh, can I have it, you know? And I think she kind of bought them just for me because she only bought one. I, you know, 11 kids in the family. And I was the only one that liked them, so yeah, she let me have it. And I didn't know that, you know, an easy way of getting the seeds out. I just did them one at a time. I just sat there for, I mean, because you didn't have video games and all the garbage back then. You could literally sit down for an hour and enjoy a fruit. I mean, maybe half an hour. But this kind of reminds me of another parable of Christ regarding how he generously distributes his, you know, the talents unto his obedient people who love him as David did and can also declare that they really are a people after God's own heart. That's what we strive on to. I mean, this, you know, that's why we're depicted as a bride in the prophecy. I mean, being students of prophecy, the colors here are obvious with the pomegranate. The blood red juice of the pomegranate represents the blood of Christ. And the many seeds obviously point to how his word is jam-packed with precious seeds of love, truth, and promise. And yes, quite often, doing this work for the Lord as well as walking, you know, just simply walking in his truth can be a bittersweet experience. And it's the reason for the juice's flavor being, you know, bitter and sweet. You see, isn't that neat the way everything just intertwines with his truth like that? I mean, the pomegranates on the ephod were embroidered using the fine twined linen in royal colors of blue, purple, and scarlet, as well as to further signify the perfection of Christ's walk, as well as the walk of the loving, obedient people. you know, that strive on to his perfection. I mean, in fact, the red, the blue, and the purple used in the pomegranates were also to signify the ultimate sacrifice of many of the followers of Christ, who in the past, present, and future will even be obedient unto death, because, as we also know, to share present truth in these last days wherein truth has become a lie and the lie has become the truth for most, it can sometimes lead to a Christian being ridiculed, persecuted, and even killed. And this is, again, why I shut down the comment sections on those videos. The truth we have to share upsets people. As a matter of fact, someone else just chimed in this morning, or last night, and I think it was this morning, on one of my other videos. I can't remember which one it was, but she was very upset. I think it had to do with that's the one, where they're going to take away, and they have taken away, and made it illegal. The Word of God is illegal in California because of the homosexual thing. And she got all upset. And I says, did I use any name? Because they'll go there, you know, and they're all doing it now. Every denomination, and I'm not, you know, except, of course, SDR and anybody that believes the way we do, but they're all using hateful, you know, threats and sometimes four-letter words and quite often, mostly, insults and name-calling. And I says, you know, there's real Christians out there. You got to understand that it's prophesied that most of the Christians are going to be wicked and hateful and evil. And that's what you base your theology, that's what you base your definition on. Like the Muslims, the Muslims think every Christian is a Catholic. And so they hate them because of what the Catholics did during the Crusades. And so the homosexuals think every Christian is from Westboro Baptist Church, because the Westboro Baptist Church has those big signs that God hates fags, right? Just that they're even insulting and calling them names. And the drunks, you know, and any other sin out there that people embrace, they say us Christians are trying to force our theology on them. And I was trying to tell them, I says, no, we don't. We warn you, we share the truth with you in love. And it's going to upset people. But you got to understand that most of the Christians out there, as prophecy declared, are going to be fake Christians, lukewarm. And they're going to get in your face when you don't do as they want you to do. And so they're going to get into political office. They're going to do this. They're going to do that. They're going to push these religious laws. Because that's what she got upset about. She says, now you Christians are whining because now your laws are being nullified. And I says, no, we're not whining. We're still warning. Yeah, the fake Christians are whining. Yeah. But if you got to know if the fake ones are out there, the real ones have to be out there too. And so, you know, this is one of the many reasons Revelation 21:8 says that some claim Jesus Lord, you know, that do call him Lord, don't even gain heaven because they're fearful. I mean, to be fearful means you trust what Satan displays before your eyes more than what Jesus has said to your heart. I mean, since we all live in the flesh for now, we could easily understand how much fear is out there. I mean, how... And we can also see how some people actually would be fearful when looking at certain death for sharing the gospel. Like it says in Proverbs, you know, some people won't even go out there because they think there's a lion in the streets. You know, we've all been tempted there, myself included. Don't go there because, what if? You know, the Lord can't trust me. He's going to send somebody else. And so I got to go. You know, it's simply human nature to avoid such things, right? In fact, that is why the Catholic Church is over a billion strong. Common sense. I mean, and the same reason for the Muslims, too. The Muslims think they're guaranteed heaven, and yet they viciously kill people and even eat their hearts. I mean, they're on video doing that, killing people and cutting their hearts out and chewing on it. I mean, common sense and historical record as well as biblical fact proves that 100% of the Roman Catholic Church members back during the Inquisition were just too fearful to die for Christ. And so this is why they're not going to gain heaven. And the same thing is being held true right now for those that believe in a secret rapture or a seven-year trib. They're just too fearful to believe what's headed their way. And so they don't want to believe it. They got to figure out some way to get peace. Because when Jesus says, I'll protect you during all that time, they've never had any of their prayers answered because they're still smoking, drinking, wearing the clothing of men or, you know, women, you know, men wearing women's clothing, women wearing men's clothing. In other words, none of them are actually Christians. They're Isaiah chapter 4, verse 1 types. They only want to be called Christians to take away the shame. But when it gets scary, they look for an easy out. That's why it says they will declare, preach on to us smooth things, prophesy deceits, because the truth just scared the daylights out of us. And they're not going to gain heaven. And those fearful people lived on from during the Inquisition. And they had children who were also taught to fear the popes. I mean, because you got to know the parents. Well, the kids were probably there at times too, but some of the parents, or even the kids were there, and they grew up to be parents, and they told their children, oh, no, don't mess with the post, man. I remember Aunt Edna over there. They cooked her. They just started her on fire in front of everybody in town because they had little villages. They would go from town to town, especially if the civil authorities there were Catholic, because they'd be all in on it. But if not, then of course, they would bring them in the dungeons because there would be a revolt. They did it two different ways. If the Catholics didn't hold the majority in the area, then the dungeon is where they would torture and kill you. But if the area was mostly Catholic, well, then they, you know, put you on a stake or put you in a brazen bowl, something, you know, whatever. They would figure out some way to kill you in front of everybody to keep that fear going. And as time went on, Satan moved the priests and all the wolves claiming to be Protestant preachers to cultivate even more fear in the hearts of all the people by reminding them of the Vatican Inquisitions as well as their false doctrines of purgatory and eternal life in hellfire. That's why you have atheists and whatnot out there, because who wants to, you know, worship a God that's going to enjoy listening to people scream for all eternity? That's not what the Bible says. The Bible says sin begets death. The Bible says we walk on the ashes of the dead after they get burned up on the second death at the end of the 1,000 years. But they don't know that. Because they're not, none of them have pomegranates. None of them have that seed basket. None of them read their Bibles, in other words. And so 1.2 billion people today base their faith solely on the fearful dogma of Rome, confirming that they will never make it to heaven, because it clearly says in Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8, it says that he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the fearful and unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars, think about that. You don't even have to be fearful. You can just be a bold-faced liar. And people seem to think, well, that's not a pretty good reason to go to hell. Really? Who do you think invented lying? The guy who lied and said he's going to rule in hell. His name is Satan. Well, actually, his name is Beelzebub. And so finishing the verse, it says, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. And keep in mind, being fearful means you are an unbeliever. For it is also written in 2 Timothy 1:7, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And so, if God didn't give you that fear, then Satan is the one that gave it, because that's, you only got two choices. Bowing to that fear means you trust his lie over your father's truth, and therefore become a non-believer unworthy of heaven, and that's why the fearful will not be in heaven, as well as the liars and the unbelievers and the abominables, the murderers, the whoremongers, sorcerers, and all that. I mean, worse yet, as fearful Christians, the Lord knows he cannot trust them to share those seeds of truth that are in the pomegranate. When it becomes deadly to do so, remember what Jesus said about, you know, no man can work during the night? And so, they are never called upon to do any work until the final test of the mark. And they're not in the least bit prepared for that. Amen. Thank you, Brother Sean. John 9:4, I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. And so, they're never called upon. But this also applies to some that refuse to plant the seeds because they don't want their friends or their neighbors or their coworkers or their classmates or even family members to think they're Jesus freaks or fanatics or legalistic or just plain strange or peculiar, as the Bible calls it. I mean, they're actually ashamed of Jesus, as per Mark 8:38. Seriously, Check it out. It says, "Whosoever therefore shall be ashamed of me and of my words in this adulterous and sinful generation, of him also shall the Son of Man be ashamed when he cometh in the glory of his Father with the holy angels." So that right there locks down. That's talking about our day. And there's a ton of people out there that are ashamed. I mean, think about that. It's one thing to be a little fearful. Well, you shouldn't be fearful at all, but it's understandable because of human nature that some people don't want to go in a certain area because of... I mean, look at Jonah. Perfect example. Didn't want to go to Nineveh. Figured it's a big old waste of time because God's going to do what he's going to do. He's merciful to start with. That's at least what he said after it all went down. But it was like a rambunctious town. Let's just put it that way. And he was or city. And he was fearful. And so that's understandable to some extent. Some people, because, if you talk to that guy, he'll shoot you. You know, some people are afraid to talk to a Muslim because he'll shoot you. You know, the gun can jam. I mean, it even happened with the Nazis. The guns jam. But to be of the mindset that says you're not going to talk about Jesus Christ with your coworkers, your classmates, your friends or your family, for that matter, because they're going to think you're a weirdo, you're a Jesus freak. Yeah, I remember they did that to one of my brother-in-laws, all my siblings. And I thought that was so sad because I was watching him at that time. I wanted the piece he had because I was going through the same thing he was going through. He was looking at heavy time behind bars. We were both going through the same thing. Different crimes, of course, but still same thing. But he had perfect peace because during his, situation, he found Christ. I was still looking for him. He didn't seem like a weirdo to me. And see, that's where we gotta shine. You can't put your Jesus under a bushel basket. You can't hide your Christianity. It doesn't work. That's not Christianity. That's lip service. You know, when you're in a crowd of Christians, oh yeah, I love them. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, like they all do. Some even refuse to share the seeds in that pomegranate because they worry that in so doing, some of their neighbors and their friends are going to get angry at them. It's bad enough to make you to have them laugh at you. So they're going to fail the test. Their next test will be, and their only test will be, the mark of the beast. And if they weren't able to stand with something, in other words, if they couldn't deal with the fact that there's a possibility that somebody's going to roll their eyes, there's no way they're going to go on that guillotine because it's going to roll their head. They're not going to do it. If they couldn't handle ridicule, that meant they were ashamed. They're ashamed of the fact that they're a Christian because everybody looks at Christians as being nutcases. That makes them feel shame. So sad. What he did for us, what he did for each and every one of us, and some people, it reminds me of the first time I was moved by the Holy Spirit to say something, tears flowing and all. I was scared. Mr. Macho walked out of the church. Because the first time I ever saw some preacher out in front of a bunch of people speaking in tongues. This is when it started getting popular in the mid-80s in the Chicago area. I was moved by the Holy Spirit to stand up and say, "You need to shut up, sir. You need to translate. You can't speak in tongues unless somebody here in this church." I mean, that's what the Spirit would leave me doing. I walked out in tears. Couldn't do it. Because I didn't want anybody to see me crying. Because I couldn't hold it back. So I walked out like a jerk. And boy, I cried a lot after that. And I promised the Lord I wouldn't shut up ever again. And I haven't. I mean, it is possible that not all of us are going to be tested with the big tests like death or sharing our faith, but all of us will be tested with the little tests of doing so because the Lord needs to know who we can use in the coming days. The angels are out there recruiting right now. And as a matter of fact, the demons are doing the same thing. They're recruiting right now. And you want proof? Well, just go into any Walmart and look at all the video games where, they got these warnings on them where the parents are supposed to say you can't let the children have these video games, but that makes the kids want them even more, and they get them. And then the rock music. I mean, or the violent movies. Why is it every movie has to have sex, drugs, rock and roll, and murder? They all got to have all this violence because Satan is recruiting He needs the troops. He needs the people for Armageddon. He needs to be able to get us surrounded because some of us are not going to bow to that mark. And then he pushes the buy and sell thing. And then, of course, that'll weed out the weak ones. But then the guillotines are going to come out of mothballs right around the time the plagues begin. And so when you pass little tests, the Lord might just send bigger ones. But no matter how it all ends, the duty of his obedient bride is to share their faith with as many as possible so as to bring more souls into heaven. And that's why that pomegranate is all over the bottom of that robe. You're constantly carrying those baskets of seeds. You are a Christian, no less. And so not only do those little bells that are next to every pomegranate, not only do those little bells allow for the people to know the high priest is alive in the most holy place, it's also, you know, it puts out a certain sound so that the people on the street hear when you're saying something that it's real truth. That's why the pomegranate's right next to the bell. I mean, we have to represent the people of God. And we have to proclaim the truth. And so the pure ringing of the golden bell alongside the seeds of truth in God's word is the fitting symbol to all of this. And so, Psalms 126 verses 5 and 6 says this. Go forth, brothers and sisters, go forth. Go forth and sow in tears, shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, beareth precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. Do you know what a sheaf is? Have you ever seen those pictures, you know, those paintings of old farmlands of the ancient days before they had the big combines out there? And where in the stalks of wheat or corn were bound together standing up in a field? Yeah, you always see it like whenever Halloween comes around, right? People put them on their front, you know, porch with a couple of pumpkins, and of course they carve those demon faces in the pumpkins because you know what the reason for the pumpkin is, right? The pumpkin's one thing. You can put we put pumpkins out in the like, but nowhere near Halloween, of course. We don't put them out. We got them in the house. I love pumpkin seeds, and they're good for you too. But it's not to acknowledge that season. It's the harvest, and it's a thank you, if you will, to on high. But what they would do, the reason for the jack-o'-lantern has nothing to do with Halloween. It had to do with the druids who would come into the towns and take a virgin out of whatever family they would pick and murder that virgin, offer her unto Baal or Satan, obviously. And then they would cook her down in a big old vat because they were also cannibalistic, and they would, you know, the scum that comes up when you're boiling any kind of meat and the fat and all that stuff in there, they would collect it and give it to the parents. Seriously, you know what the parents would do with that fat? They would make a candle out of it, and they would make a jack-o'-lantern next year when the druids came around and put it on their front porch with the candle in it so it would shine through the face they carved, letting them know, you can skip this house, pal. You've already took one of our kids. That's why it started. And people put that on their porches on Halloween. So the sheaf is what binds all those stalks together filled with the seeds. We have the seed baskets. And now when we share those seed baskets, they have them too. And so those sheaves get bound up. And so go out. Work the fields, which in prophecy means the earth, and bring in so many children to God that you have to use the sheaf of heaven to bind them together in the Lord. And I hope and I pray that you were cut deep and blessed by what was shared this Sabbath day. I'll be back in a minute.